Last time we did the Hakdama of the Beis Yosef. Today we're going to do the Hakdama of the Darkei Moshe and the Ramah. Last time we did the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch, so it seems reasonable to move on to the Darkei Moshe and the Ramah. Sorry for the extra long paper. The reason for that is the tours that we have in Yeshiva here are very large, and they fit on 8.5 by 14. The pages fit on 8.5 by 14. So even though my notes are on 8.5 by 11, you have big papers. Now, unlike the Hakdama of the Beis Yosef, which had plenty of content, but was not written in a particularly poetic style, the Hakdama of the Ramah is written dafka in a very poetic style. And it's, I don't want to read the whole thing inside, but I think it's kedai to read some of it inside to get a sense of the style of writing. And I think it's significant because the Ramah in a tshuva confesses that he never really learned the Hebrew language really well, that he's not a great expert in the Hebrew language, he never really studied diktuk so much. But if you read how he actually writes, halavai, we should all be so poor at writing Hebrew like the Ramah was. The Ramah writes the entire thing in an extremely, extremely poetic way. A lot of it rhymes actually, and you'll see in a second. We'll read the first paragraph together, and maybe after that we'll veer off into saying what he says outside, because we're never going to finish if we try to read the whole thing inside. So says the Ramah, the beginning of the Hakdama to the Darkei Moshe. Ishu b'Krakow shmo Yisrael. There was a man in Krakow. His name was Yisrael. That was not the Ramah's name. That was Ramah's father's name. Asher nadva rucho ubana beis haknesses lekel, who had a generous spirit, and he built a shul for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramah's father was a very wealthy man, and the Ramah's father supported communities. The Ramah himself was very wealthy. The Ramah, later on in his life, he died at a very young age. He died, I think he was in his 50s when he died. He was a young man when he died, but toward the end of his life, when he became a Rosh HaYeshiva, he supported his Talmidim. He supported them with his own money. He was independently wealthy, probably Yerusha from his father. So his father was this generous man who was a leader of a community. V'hayu b'doro ke'en nu'um ha'gever lo'ochel v'yitiel. And he was in his generation this great man, this great supportive man. V'haparnis hinhig v'kilkel doro ki'ukutiel. And he supported and led and gave basic sustenance to his generation like Yekutiel. V'ani b'no Moshe, and I, his son Moshe, nara yisi v'adayin lo zakanti. I'm a child who has not yet aged. Karmi shali lo natarti. I haven't yet planted my vineyard. V'al acherim nismanisi. And yet I've been appointed to rule over other people. The Ramah is referring to the fact that I don't mean to break up the rhyme. Let's read the end of the sentence. Lahoros l'rabim derech yelchuba ule talmid katanti. That my job is to show other people how to behave, and yet I'm even smaller than a talmid. So the Ramah is referring to the fact that he became a dayan at a very young age. It's unclear exactly when the Ramah was born. It depends which website you believe in terms of the you believe the Bar Ilan CD. He was either born in 1520, 1525, or 1530. So he was either 23, 28, or 33 when he became a dayan in 1553. So whatever it was, he became a dayan at a fairly young age. And he's referring to that, being such a young man, feeling so inadequate to be a dayan in Klal Yisrael, to be in a major position of authority in a major city in Klal Yisrael, but he felt inadequate. He felt very young for the job. And he says, I ignored the fact that there are various mamari chazal that really strongly discourage a person from jumping at a position of authority. Meaning, it's not like he needed the job, he had the money, but he took the position and he said, really, it was a mistake. At first, he says it was a mistake. He writes, V'tam amr perek basr de Menachos. The Gemara says, at the end of Menachos, amr b'shur ben prachya, b'tchila kala omer aleila ani kofta lefnei ari, azlo hevanti. The Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon ben Prachya said that initially anyone who would tell me to go and take a position of Gedula, I would push him in front of a lion. I would say, God forbid, I would never take a position of Gedula. I never want to be in a position of political authority. But Azlo Hevanti, when I was 33 years old, says the Ramah, I didn't really understand that Gemara. It didn't resonate with me. I didn't understand what's so bad about being a leader in Klal Yisrael. What's so bad about being a dayan, about taking an official position within a community. Umidrashim v'medrashilam denu kivet shenasa adam rosh lamata nasa rosh lamala. And the Medrash that says that if you become someone, a Rosh Lamata, in a position of authority down here, you're like a Rosh Lamala, you're like a poor man up there, Azlo Shinanti. I didn't learn that Medrash yet. I didn't know that I should avoid such a position. So he says, what did I do? Rakal Oavai Virei Sha Omrli Ale Oznishanti. Only on my friends and my beloved friends who told me to take the job, that's who I relied on. Umizkena Hisponanti, and I took direction from those who were older than me. Va'af kilitova kivanti. And he says, but you should know, I really meant well by taking this job. It's amazing. The Ramah's first paragraph is explaining why it's okay for the Ramah, the posek for all of Klal Yisrael, to become a dayon in the city of Krakow. Why that's okay. It gives a little bit of a hint to how, you know, in the moment, you know, in hindsight, it's so obvious that, you know, that he's the posek of all of Klal Yisrael. But in the moment, he didn't yet know what impact the book he's about to print is going to have and how that's going to change. It's going to change Judaism. He was hopeful. We'll see soon. He was hopeful that this was going to make a major impact. But he had no way of knowing what kind of impact this book was going to make. So he writes, so what's my excuse? Why did I take the position? So he says, there are four Mamari Chazal that seem to support me taking this position. Ki hadigar sinu b'Yerushalmi Mesechs Peah Perek Basra. Rabbi Yossi ol l'kafro b'en l'mukmin l'hu parnasin v'lo kiblun aleyen ol v'amr komeyen ben bava ol v'hivkia umazesh nisman ala p'kia zach l'isman asal gedolei adar atem sh'atem isman amalchai nefashos lo kol shkein. Essentially, the Gemara has, I'm a little fuzzy on the details, but the Yerushalmi basically says that someone who's appointed to a lowly position is a great zuchus that will enable him to be very well respected in the eyes of the Ribbono Shalom as well, and the eyes of the Tzibur. So even if it's just a lowly position, but it's a position of authority, it's meaningful. Second Ma'amar Chazal, Rabbi Chagyai, the same Gemara, the same Yerushalmi, kad avamokim parnasin have a matim lu oraisa lomar shekol srara shenasna mitora shenamar bimalachim lochu bisorim yasuru, that when he took a position of authority, it's the position comes straight from the Torah itself. All authority emanates from the Torah. So the Ramah says, when I took my position of authority as a dayan, it also emanates from the Torah, and that's a good thing. We want anything that the Torah has to offer. V'arminanam perakam Sanhedrin. There's also Gemara Sanhedrin in the Bavli. Rabbi Zeirava mitmar lemismechei. Right, we have. Did you see that Gemara yet? The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about wanting to give smicha. So the Gemara says, have it right here, might as well. If I could find it, yeah. Rabbi Zeirat in the medium-sized lines in Yudal Ramad Aleph. Rabbi Zeirav mitmar lemismechei. Da'amar Rabbi Lazar li'olam habikavu v'kayim. Rabbi Zeirat would hide away so that he wouldn't get smicha. He didn't want people to chase after him to try to give him smicha, because he said you should always try to stay humble and stay in the dark, stay in the shadows, and that will be good for you. But kivan d'shama l'had amar Rabbi Lazar ein adam al l'gdula elim kein mochlin lo al kol avonosav. But then he heard the teaching that a person is only al l'gdula when a person rises to a position of authority, so they're mochlin lo al kol avonosav, so he gets mechilas avonos. So amtzilei anafshe. Then he tried very hard to be able to go and get smicha, because it was a great thing. It was going to cause mechilas avonos. So then the Gemara goes on to say, ki samchol Rabbi Zeira, when they finally gave smicha to Rabbi Zeira, what they sang to him, they sang lo kchal, that he doesn't need any makeup and he's still so beautiful, meaning the way you would compliment a woman, that she's beautiful even without makeup. They complimented Rabbi Zeira that without any of the fanfare, without any frivolous or artificial things, his Torah has a natural beauty to it. So, but anyway, the Gemara says that there's a mechilas avonos. The Gemara also says in Perek Haroa, the Sadial Gemara says, but it's also in Perek Haroa, that afilu reish gargusa min shemayim ukmilei, that even if you're in a small position of authority, it all comes min hashemayim. So the Ramah says, that's my excuse. That's why I took a position as the dayan. Now, as a dayan, he said, why is he telling you how he became a dayan? Because as a dayan is when he first had to paskin halachos. He was learning in yeshiva, great, but now he's got to paskin halachos. So all sorts of shailas came to him. So he describes, we're going to stop reading inside now, but he describes his derech hapsak when halachos came to him. And he said that he took the responsibility very seriously to paskin halachos. He understood that if shalo eshke tamid ba'ara yoresi, I was always afraid that I shouldn't make a mistake in hara'a, and b'makom she'inish lios ish kivisi, I was hoping that where no one else was qualified, I would be the qualified person to issue a psak. And he says, b'kolo ra'as yasisi li rav v'kanisi li re'a, every psak I consulted with other people, I asked people older than me, I made sure to have pilpul chaverim about it, because I didn't want to get it wrong, m'chas v'shom shagisi la'atir isura, t'meisi ta'ora, o t'yarti tumo, asarti etera, I didn't want to be mati that which is us, or vice versa. And you have to be afraid of both. You have to be afraid of being mati that which is asr, and also vice versa. You have to be afraid of asring that which is mutter. That's also not okay. You don't just say, ah, okay, so they're going to be machmir. It's not okay. You have to be afraid of getting it right. And he says, and what did I do? How did I decide to paskin? La'olam shivisi negadena divrei kadmonim. I would always keep the rishonim, the tour, and the basic rishonim. And because those are the most famous svarim, you know, I would keep the Rambam, the Rush, you know, the basic rishonim. So, but then what would happen invariably? It describes that people would come to me and they would say, "Look over here. It says state in Chuvas Harash, or in the Rashba, or in the Marik, or in the Rivash, or in the Chuvas Deshen, not like you. So, what do you say?" He says, "What do you mean? What do I say? I learned the sugya with the basic rishonim, and the basic rishonim said not like me." Then he realized who's probably more right. The Maharil and the Mahariv and the Chumash Deshen and the Rivash and the Marik, or me. They're probably more right in the way they learn the Sugya. So I realized that I've been wrong a lot of times. And not just wrong in the way they learn the Sugya, but more importantly, in the Minhag. Even if my Pesachim are based on the Rif and the Rambam, but that doesn't tell us what our Minhag is in Krakow. And when people are coming to me with Ashkenazi Gedolei Rishonim, I realize that's really much more of the koveya of the minhag. So he said, I didn't know what to do, because you can't go through everything. It's very hard to learn through everything every time a shaila comes up. And I was lazy. He says, I was too lazy to go through all the sugyas again with all of these achronim. So I didn't know what to do. And then he says, Baruch Hu Hamesayeh Al Kol Abal Atayir. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that I was struggling. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Pasach Li Shar. God opened up a gate for me. He opened up a window. And what was that window? V'nasan b'libi l'katzer l'va'er. He made me realize that if I have this struggle, every other rabbi is going to have this struggle too. And that someone's got to come along and make a kitzer book. And make a, you know, compilation of the sugyas. Describe the sugyas clearly, using, taking minhag into account. Taking the gedolei rishonim and the minhagim into account. So instead of just having to learn through Shas, like we saw in the Beis Yosef last time, finding the sugya, there should be a book where it's easily arranged, where you're going to be able to figure it out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this great idea. And I decided to make it as a commentary on the Torah. Why a commentary on the Torah? Because the Torah is very organized. The great advantage that the Torah has is organization. Shas is disorganized. There are halachos all over the place that aren't necessarily about the Masechta that you're learning even, that just happen to be stuck in the Masechta. Shas is everywhere. But the Torah is very organized. So I decided to make it as a commentary on the Torah, he says. And he said, I worked on this. Umiyadis masnai nezarti, umishnas tirdamti ninarti, umeezer yoshev tilos nezarti. He says, I stopped sleeping. I worked so hard. I HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me out. Shemachshavosai ischalti, ukemat gamarti, v'kol chidushai apostle matshuvos, biyachad chibarti. He uses a lot of the possessive to make the rhymes. Right? So I started writing it down. Seder balaturim behen sidarti, and I arranged it on the tour. V'lo shalavti, v'lo shakatati, and I didn't have a moment of rest. And he says, I barely slept, and this was the most gratifying thing I could possibly do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me, and I started coming out with a really, really wonderful sefer, where I was able to weed out the opinions that we don't paskin like, or that we view as incorrect, and put down in writing those poskin that we hold as correct, and really present the sugya in a clear way based on the tour. And he says, I did all the work of getting rid of the stuff that we don't paskin like. He says, I got rid of that for you. You don't have to read that stuff. And I just gave you the klal and the ikr. I just gave you the primary ideas. So he says, everything was going great. Everything was fantastic. And then it happened. What happens? So you look at the bottom of the first page. He writes, "Ubigia Tor Esther Ratzalomer Iser Veheter." So poetic. He says, when it came Tor Esther, the turn of Esther. Who's the turn of Esther? He says, I mean Iser Veheter. When I started writing my commentary on Yeridea. But he wants to use biblical phrases. So he says, Tor Esther. So when I started writing my commentary in Yeridea, v'schalti hilchus chala, and I was up to hilchus chala, achazani palatzos v'lavashni chalchala, he says, I was seized by something terrible. V'shami ner Yisrael rosh hagola arim yisivcha o'ala, I heard that the great gadol of the time, the Arisha b'chabura, the lion of our generation, ala shamayim v'ruach alukin kadishin v'chaf na'asaf, the Chiber Sefer Beis Yosef, that he had the same idea, and he put together a Sefer on the tour, collecting the sugyas, collecting the Rishonim, organizing everything to make it easier to paskin, and he called it Beis Yosef. So what's so terrible? I shall call Rov Yadin Esma Lasov Estuvo V'Rov Tov Hatzafin Bekirbo. People know who Rav Yosef Kairo is. He's the Gadol Hadar. Everyone recognizes that he's the Gadol Hadar. So Oznif Halti Shepoel Harik Paalti. Who's going to buy my book? Why would anyone buy my book when Beis Yosef did the same exact thing and it's out there? So I thought it was all for naught. I wasted my time. It's the only time, by the way, that I've ever seen before the 20th century the term Gezel Shena. You ever see it anywhere? Gezel Shena? I always assumed it was invented in the Catskills in like the 1970s. You know? Gezel Shena. So he says, I stole my own sleep for this book, and it was for nothing, because now this book is never going to see the light of day. So it was so incredibly depressing. Now, obviously, he's using it as a melitza. There's no such thing as Gezel Shena, right? There's no such thing as stealing sleep. It's just, we once discussed this, I think. I think we have a time in Halach Shira on this, that it's just an isser of Ben Adam L'Chaver. You're not allowed to be a mean person. So when you wake a person up who's sleeping, you're just being mean. But it's not stealing, you're just a jerk. It has nothing to do with stealing. So, but anyway, and also, beautiful Lashon here says, Ve'el Haneor Hazeh Hispalalti. Anyone know where that phrase is from? Anybody knows? El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti is the original. Chana says about Shmuel, it's for this nar that I davened. El hanar hazeh espalalti. So what does Rama say? El haneor hazeh. This staying awake at night that I've been davening for the whole time, that it was going to lead to some success, that's what I davened for the whole time, and look, and it's all for nothing, and it's all going to fall by the wayside. Ki divrei neger dabri neger chacham anal ke ayin nechshavu. Dvarai neger chacham anal ke ayin nechshavu. Vishraga b'tiyah ramayahani. Because my words, when you put it against the Beis Yosef, it's a joke. You can't match me up with the Beis Yosef. Shraga b'tiyah ramayahani. Familiar with that phrase? Where does the Gemara use that phrase? That's in Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara talks about using a candle to do bedikas chametz. So the Gemara says you do bedikas chametz belayla. Because if you do bedikas chametz a day and use a candle, shraga b'tiyah ramayahani. You have a candle in broad daylight. What does that help you? You have the broad daylight. So he says, my book is a little candle. Beis Yosef is broad daylight. Who in the world is going to use my book? It's a joke. So he writes, this was a problem. So what did he do? He started davening. He started davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel'Olam, help me. Years and years, my life's work. And I had no idea someone else was working on it. By the way, his take on it, that everyone would have just respected the Beis Yosef and he would have been like an afterthought, is not so pashut. Although Beis Yosef was much older and was a bit more widely respected, Beis Yosef also wrote tshuvas to the Ramah, meaning they corresponded. You know, he sent shailas to the Ramah. They did correspond. There was a certain mutual respect. It wasn't like he was a total kid next to, you know, like a know-nothing next to the Beis Yosef. There's a certain amount of humility that he's certainly speaking with. But he says, I was confused. I didn't know what to do. And then, va'oz chamasi shachacha, then my anger subsided. Where is that from? It's also a Megillah phrase. Va'marti avina divrei sefer beis yosef achriso. And he said, you know what? Maybe before I get all upset, maybe I should read the Beis Yosef and see if, like, maybe there is some reason why I should write a book. So he says, I started reading the Beis Yosef. Ki amar li Elokim, I don't know what he means by this. Ki amar li Elokim, al tira oso ve'es beso. God told me, don't fear him and his bias. I don't know what that means. God told him that maybe he had the sense that I shouldn't be afraid, that I should read what he has to say. That you'll see that the kings, meaning Man Malki Rabbanan, will be interested in your work also. Because, and he says, the reason that my work is still going to be meaningful even after there's a Beis Yosef is that there are three significant advantages that my work has that the Beis Yosef does not have. There are three significant contributions that I can make that the Beis Yosef doesn't. First two are minor, he says. The third one is major. First contribution, he says, is Asher, he says, Ha'achas lahavi kol advarim below orech ha'atzaos, without lengthy quotations. I don't do lengthy quotations. Because he says, in this generation, who has patience for lengthy quotations? People want things bekitzer, they want things shorter. So I summarize what the people said. The Beis Yosef will quote, V'zelashon ha'rashba, and go on for 20 lines with exactly what the Rashba said, and then summarize it. I'll just summarize it. I'm not going to tell you what they said. If you want to look it up, I'll give you the Maramakom. You go and you look it up. He says, I am careful to give you the Maramakom because I don't want you to blame me if you misunderstand it because I quoted it in such short form that you don't know what the source says. So you have no excuses. You want to look it up? Go look it up and then you'll find it. But in general, he says there's a lot of precedent for teaching B'derech Ketzar. It's a Gemara Maseches Pesachim that a person should always teach B'derech Ketzar in the shortest possible way. And also, that's what the Rambam and the Tur did. He said, I'm just taking my cue from the Rambam and the Tur. They also taught in B'derech Ketzar. So number one is, if you want a much shorter version, you have to look in the Darkei Moshe rather than Beis Yosef. That's advantage number one. Advantage number two is, there were significant sources that the Beis Yosef just never quoted. There are plenty of Tshuvos HaGaonim and Tshuvos HaChronim and the Ma'ariv and the Isser V'Heter HaAruch that the Beis Yosef didn't have. He just didn't have access to the Sfarim. So he says, I chose carefully from those Sfarim that the Beis Yosef didn't have as well to help give you a broader perspective on what's out there in any given topic. So that's advantage number two. But then he says advantage number three is the most important advantage. V'ashlishi v'hu ha'ikar, he says. The primary advantage of the Darkei Moshe over the Beis Yosef is ki yadua sharav ha-mechaber Beis Yosef b'tivo al ha-gadolim nichsav u-pasak halacha b'kol makom al pishnayim u-shlosha edim. Whenever the Beis Yosef paskind, it's always al pishnayim u-shlosha edim. What's he referring to? Rambam, the Rif, and the Rash. He's saying it was always based on the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rash. That's all he ever paskind based on. Hema agonim anachmadim harif haram harash b'kol makom sheshnayim em ludas achas nitzmadim. When two of them agree, that's it. He just goes with that. Ulishar rabusa adire atayre lo chash aleihem. And for all the other giants of Torah, he just ignored. Va'af ki hem kamayiv lo basrai, even though they're rishonim. An early rishonim would say things and he would just ignore them. Oh, not only that, he says he's ignoring a riff. He's a beferish a riff. What does the riff say? Hello, riff shapask sof per basra de erivin, viskimo imor rabim, lifso kalacha, bichol makom, ke basrai, vlolacha, shadivre kamai. The riff says the reason we pass on the Talmud Bavli over Talmud Yerushalmi is hilchsik basrai, that we always pass in like the later authorities. So Beis Yosef is going to say, I'm passing like the Rif, the Rambam, the Rush. What are you hacking me with the Chumash Hadesh and the Ma'arik, these much later authorities? Says Rambam, what do you mean? What am I hacking you with these later authorities? You're supposed to paskin like the later authorities. The Rif himself says you're supposed to paskin like the later generations. Hilchsa Kabasra. So basically what Rambam is saying is that the Beis Yosef's entire Derech HaPsak is messed up. He's narrowing the base of Rishonim way too much. The Rif says, you should paskin like the later authority, even if it's a Talmud against the Rebbe. And that's always the way we paskin. Plus, Beis Yosef doesn't take minhag into account. He paskins without telling you the minhag. So says the Rama, I'm very careful throughout the Darkei Moshe to write. V'kasafti yitzel kol davar, hachi nahug. I always say, hachi nahug. This is the minhag. Because you need to know what the minhag is. Minhag plays a critical role in the Rama. You find, for instance, the Rama in Aruch Chaim, some Tafresh Yotes, in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, when it talks about Kol Nidre and the Minhagim of how many times to say it and when exactly to say it. It's all Minhag. The whole thing about Kol Nidre is all Minhag. So the Ramah has such a lashon over there that a person should never be Mishana Min HaMinhag, Afilu B'Nigunim U'Piyutim. Even Nigunim. He was so sensitive to minhag. Every minhag was so important to him. Rav Shachter would always say that Rav Salvechik was like this. That every minhag, he would spend shiurim explaining what a minhag might be based on. He was so concerned with minhag. Every minhag was so critical. Except not every minhag. Sometimes there was a minhag talus or a minhag shtus. Raman Yardeas in Kof Samech in Sif Yud Ches writes that there was a minhag that an apotropos is malva ma'os yisom in beribis ktsutza, even with ribis daraisa, and he said even though the yesh makamos nagim came minhag talusu. Every once in a while in Shulchan Aruch will tell you something that's just pashut a mistake. But most of the time, if there's a minhag, he's there to tell it to you and he's there to justify it for you. So anyway, so much more attention to minhag. And he says another problem with Beis Yosef is he wants to make his own rules. Great. He doesn't even follow his own rules. And he gives certain examples where the Beis Yosef himself doesn't even follow his own rules of paskening, like two out of the big three. So he says that's why there's room for a Darkei Moshe. There's room for a Darkei Moshe because I'm going to fix all these problems. So what's my style? What do I do in the Darkei Moshe? So he says, first of all, very interesting. He says, I never knew this. I mean, I knew it, I just never understood why. In Darkei Moshe, a lot of times he'll say, Vizel Lashona. He'll start quoting, Kasav Ha-Marivayil Vizel Lashona. And then he'll just give like four or five words. And there's no way that was the Lashon of the Marivayil, because the Marivayil wrote a whole tshuva. And Darkei Moshe is giving like four or five words. So he says, when I say Vizel Lashona, I don't really mean I'm quoting. It's like crazy, because what do you mean? Vizel Lashona means begin quote. In all of rabbinic literature, Vizel Lashona is the beginning of a quote, Ad Kal Lashona is the end of a quote. So the Ramah gives a whole Torah. And he says, no, you should know, the word Lashon in the Hebrew language means three different things. Lashon sometimes is Nemar Ale Eivar Anikra Lashon. Sometimes it just means a tongue. It's talking about a body part. The Lashon is a tongue. It says sometimes it's Nemar Al Inyan Ashmua, that on a rumor going around, Ashalo Tishma Lashono. And sometimes Al Kavanas Hamedaber Uritzono, on an idea, what a person means to say. So he says, when I write Adkan Lashono, I just mean the idea. I don't mean Vizel Lashono and Adkan Lashono, this is an exact quote. I just mean an idea. So that's very important. If you read through Darkei Moshe, he's always saying Vizel Lashono, you should realize that Vizel Lashono just means an idea. Then he says, another advantage that I've done is I found a lot of mistakes in the Beis Yosef, a lot of mistakes in citation. I fixed a lot of those. And he says, the other thing I did is I always quote the Beis Yosef first, because that's one of the Darkei HaChacham, particularly those that we paskin like, the Beis Hillel, we paskin like the Beis Hillel over the Beis Shammai, because they were always makdim and divrei Beis Shammai, the divreihem. They always mention the Beis Shammai's opinion first, and then they formulated their opinion, so that's always the best way to go. So I always quote the Beis Yosef first before I argue. And he says, you know, I'm not telling you you have to paskin like me. Go ahead, argue. You know, it's all out there. You want to argue, gesuntai. You know, I'm telling you where I got things from. You could look it up yourself, and you could argue yourself. And then he writes, at the end of most hakdamos, you have an explanation for the title of the book. So why is it called Darkei Moshe? Well, obviously his name is Moshe. But he says, why was Moshe Rabbeinu called Moshe? Ki min ha-mayim mishisihu. The Moshe Rabbeinu was drawn from the water. It's one of my pet peeves in the old movie, The Ten Commandments, when, Charlton Heston comes down from the mountain, or before he comes down from the mountain, right, when at the beginning of the story, it says, and the daughter of Pharaoh called him Moses because she drew him from the water. It's like, it doesn't translate well. What? She called him Moses because she drew him from the water? In Hebrew, it makes sense. Moshe, because me and Amayim, Mishisihu. So he says, Darkei Moshe says, I called it Darkei Moshe because all of it was Mishisihu Mimei HaTorah. I drew it from the vast sea of the Talmud, the vast sea of Torah and of rabbinic literature. I drew it all together into one place and gave you this Darkei Moshe. So it's an appropriate title for the book. Plus, there's a Gematria. Darkei Moshe is B'Gematria Bo B'Beis Yosef. A trespasser in the house of Yosef. That I've entered the house of Yosef and I came to break up the party a little bit. So that's why I called it Darkei Moshe, he writes. Now, in the Akdama to the Ramah, it's a much shorter Akdama, the Akdama to the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, because he already said it all. And a lot of the Akdama to the Ramah is just a repeat of what he said in the Beis Yosef. The only thing he adds over here is that the Ramah is based entirely on the Darkei Moshe. And in fact, he writes, He doesn't actually say that in the Akdama, but it's clear. He writes in the Tshuva, in Simon Lamed Ches. In Tshuva Sarama, he writes, V'chein kasafti ba'atzmi b'chibure darkei Moshe, asher mimenu sidarti ha-Shulchan Aruch. That it's from the darkei Moshe that I arranged my comments on the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the comments on the Shulchan Aruch are called the Mappa, because it's, again, just like the darkei Moshe is a play, is Bo B'Beis Yosef. It's a play on working off of the Beis Yosef, so the Mappa is a play on the Shulchan Aruch, that the Shulchan Aruch is the set table. So he says, I put the tablecloth on the table. The table wasn't complete until I came along and put the tablecloth in it. So the Mappa is the tablecloth. So, but it all comes from the Darkei Moshe. And he points out that the major problem with the Shulchan Aruch is it doesn't account for the Ashkenazi Pesach, and that the rules of Pesach, how he arrives at his Pesach, are totally incorrect, because he arrives at his Pesach, again, quoting those three Gedolim only, and not anybody else. So I give you a more broader picture and all the other poskim as well. At the end, he says that how to use it. He writes toward the end of his Hakdama to the he says, where is it? Umi sheyesh lo chayich litom yavchin hamatamim b'ta'meihon ba'atzmo v'lo yismoch al acherim. He says, if you're a big Talmud Chacham and you want to read the Ramah, you're a person who has a little bit of a sense of a taste of how to learn Torah and how to analyze Torah. So good. So you should taste the taste of Torah. Look at the Mar Makomos. Look it up. Find it in its original. And great. Umi shelo higil madregazu. And someone who's not yet at that madrega and just knows how to read what it says here. Lo yasuz min haminuk. Kamo shekasuv agonin al ba'asim v'akdam ha-sifra gadol. At least follow your minuk. At least do what the minuk says. So at least I'm telling you what the minuk is. At least in brief, in kitzer, I'll inform you what the minuk is, so you'll know exactly how to behave. Now the Rama himself lived at a time. He has very few psakim that are based on Kabbalah, but like the Beis Yosef, the Rama himself was a great Kabbalist. You couldn't be alive and a rabbi in the 16th century and not be like a great Kabbalist. I mean, you're living in the times of Rav Yosef Kairo, Rav Chaim Vital. Like, there's Kabbalah was a pretty big deal. The Rama himself studied a lot of Kabbalah. He also studied a good amount of philosophy. Now, he has a tshuva, a very famous tshuva, Simon Zion, in the Tshuva of Rama, where he describes why he thinks it's okay that he studied that he studies philosophy, and he also discusses Kabbalah a little bit. The Rama doesn't see a stira between the two. A lot of the Gedolim didn't like philosophy and liked Kabbalah, and they thought it was a stira. The Rama says Kabbalah says the same thing that philosophy says, just in different terminology. And one particular Gadol who was very unhappy with Rama's study of philosophy was his cousin, the Marshal. The Marshal was a very anti-Maimonidean figure. He was not a big fan of the Rambam and the Rambam's style and all the Rambam's study of philosophy and the fact that the Rambam had so much Aristotle in his works, etc. The Rama followed the Rambam. In fact, interesting to note, the very first comment in Darkei Moshe and the very first comment in the Mappa on Shulchan Aruch is a quote from Mor Nevuchim, from the Rambam's philosophical work. Of all places to stick, a quote from Mor Nevuchim, the very first, it's almost, you get the feeling the Rama was making a statement. His first comment in Darkei Moshe is going to be a citation of the Mor Nevuchim. What's the comment? Anyone know the first Rama in all of Shulchan Aruch? So he says, Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid, but part of Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid is that you shouldn't be embarrassed by other people. If you know that the halacha is that you're supposed to daven, so what? You're in an airport and other people are going to think you're weird. They think you're weird anyway. You're wearing a yarmulke on your head. They think you're weird anyway. So you do what's right, whether people think it's strange or people don't think it's strange. Don't give in to social pressure. That's all a direct quote. That Rama is all a direct quote from the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. So the very first comment, the Rama tries to show you, I'm not disrespecting the Rambam. I love the Rambam. I love the Rambam's philosophy also. It's interesting also, the very last Rama in all of Shulchan Aruch is the halach of Kanaim Pogimbo. That if you see a man, Boel and Aramis, in public, in front of 10 people, you shouldn't be afraid. Bishas Maisa, you can go and Kanaim Pogimbo and you can kill him. So the very last halacha is really about not being worried about what people are going to say and the fact that something will look bad. So it's actually nice bookends to his comments on Shulchan Aruch. Starts with not being worried about what other people are going to say and ends with not being worried about what other people are going to say. But the point I was trying to bring out over here is that it's a Rambam Mor Nevuchim that he starts his book with. So he has a famous tshuva where he discusses why it's okay for him to study philosophy. The Marshal wrote him a shayla, or really a tshuva. The Marshal wrote him a Musar Shmuz. What are you doing? Why are you studying philosophy? It's all up your courses. It's a waste of time. It's this and that. He was very unhappy about it. So the Rama writes that, first of all, you're quoting to me a tshuva from Rashba that says that it's aser. You should know that the Rashba only says that it's aser when you're young. When you get a little bit older and you're ready in the smali kreso a little bit with Shas and with Talmud and Rishonim, when you have a basic idea of more than a basic idea, you're ready. You're an established Talmud Chacham. Even the Rashba says it's okay to study philosophy. Then he says, "Umi lanu gadol me'ar Rambamzal shasa sefer amora shakulo ein elamizah hamin." He says, "How can you question the Rambam? The Rambam's the biggest, the greatest giant we've ever had, and he wrote a whole book of philosophy. So hard to say that it's a problem." So he says, "Aye, a lot of the Rambam's philosophy comes from Aristotle, comes from the Chachmas Umas Ha'olam." So the Rama writes, "V'af ki Chachmas Umas Ha'olam amru kvar amru megillah parakama." It doesn't say it exactly in that lashon. What's the lashon of the Gemara? Chachma b'gayim, tamin. And if you're told that there's chachma amongst the gayim, so you can believe that. That's okay, and you should imbibe that chachma. You should take some of that chachma. I was reading Rav Pinkus recently. Someone said Rav Pinkus wrote that, or said in the Shmuz, and they wrote it up, that he went to a kid. He saw a kid that was in like a modern Orthodox kind of high school that has a lot of secular studies, has a fair amount of secular studies, and he said to the kid, Rav Pinkus was a real Haredi, you have to understand. So he said to the kid, if the Rambam was around today, you think he'd approve of the modern Orthodox high school system? He didn't call it modern Orthodox, but you know, the Israeli version. You think he would approve of the modern Orthodox high school system? And the kid was like taken aback. He didn't know what to respond. And Rav Pinkus said the next day he got a letter from the kid's father that said, if the Rambam was alive today, would he ever get a job in any of your Haredi yeshivas? He's a doctor, a philosopher. He would never be a Rosh Yeshiva. There would never be a point of a Rosh Yeshiva. So Pinkus dedicated an entire mimer to what the answer is to that person's letter. Frankly, the Kasha is better than the Teretz. You know, I don't know what the answer is to that person's letter. Pashtus, he wouldn't get a job. But anyway, but we all recognize the Rambam as being the greatest giant, you know, of all the Rishonim. And he wrote a philosophy book. He didn't think it was a waste of time to write a philosophy book. So Rama says, I don't have a problem with it. And even if you say that you're not allowed to read those svarim, the philosophy books, lest you come across the apikorsis and the bad stuff, he says, I don't read secular philosophy books. I read the Rambam. That's all I read. That's the extent of my philosophical knowledge. I read the Mor Nevuchim, and the Rambam sifted out already for me all the good stuff. You know, he took the bad stuff out and kept all the good stuff. So he says that ach im omer sha'ani im evrach yoser milasok bekabbalah lahavin me'asim b'drei mash evrach lasok bephilosophia. He says, you know, if there's anything you should be giving Musar about, is people should run away from Kabbalah a little bit more. They shouldn't be so eager to learn Kabbalah, because that's where people really go wrong, because people think they understand it. He says, Afilu bali batim sheni yodim ben yaminam l'smolam, even bali batim who don't know the difference between the right hand and the left hand in halacha, b'chashecha yisalchu, they walk in darkness, ein yodim l'farish sedro parsham perish rashi, they can't read Chumash and Rashi, but kovtzin l'mol Kabbalah. They want to go to the Kabbalah center. They're all interested in learning Kabbalah. He says, that's the danger. Halavai they should learn philosophy. Philosophy would be much better for them. They end up learning Kabbalah. Now, then he goes on to a whole rant about Kabbalah, but you should realize, he wasn't against learning Kabbalah. He was a cat. He learned plenty of Kabbalah. He was a great expert in Kabbalah himself. But the point is that he thought that's the more dangerous of the two areas of Limud. The Rama, so I just want to give you that background to who he was. The Rama also wrote, as I just mentioned, Tshuvos. He also wrote a philosophical work, Torah Sa'ol Mechir Yayin, on Megillah Esther, ostensibly on Megillah Esther, really about life in general. And he wrote Torah Sachatos, which is a halachic work on Kashrus. And on the Rama's tombstone, if you were to ever visit Krakow, it used to be that people would go up until World War II, I think people started going again. They used to go Lag BaOmer. It was a big deal to go to the Kever of the Rama, because his yard site is on Lag BaOmer. So people go on Lag BaOmer to the cover of the Ramah. But anyway, the Ramah, on his tombstone it says, Mi Moshe ad Moshe lo kam ki Moshe. Where else does it say that? Who else does it say about the Rambam, right? So this is a reference to the Rambam. The Rambam was a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. And from Moshe Rabbeinu until the Rambam, we didn't have another one like Moshe. So the Rambam also has from the Rambam until Rabbeinu Moshe Isserles, no one else in Klal Yisrael has arisen quite like Moshe, such a leader for Klal Yisrael. And again, the philosophical leanings, the mastery of Psak, the great contribution to Jewish literature in the area of Psak Halacha, that's something that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam, and Rav Moshe Isserles all have in common. There's something shmagarim. There's something about that name. A lot of people have tried the name and it hasn't quite worked out exactly that way. But you know, shmagarim, that they've been so successful in those areas. So that's the introduction to the Ramah. Okay, we're going to be having the Hashkafah.